I'll wait for Samuel to... The name of the message today is called, God is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge and strength. Is He your refuge today? Is He your strength today? Are you able to rely on God when you fall into trouble? We know that there is trouble everywhere. Trouble in the economy. Trouble in the world. Trouble in relationships. Trouble in our own lives, personal lives. There is trouble all over the world. Nations battling each other. Wars, rumors of wars, hurricanes, earthquakes, fires, floods. All such things have been travailing and prevailing throughout the whole earth, causing the earth to spin out of control. Truly, it is not only in this earth, our lives have spun out of control as well. Because we live in a life, we live in a world where the devil operates, where things have been given over. And we know that this is his world, this is his kingdom, and this is all he'll ever have. And all those souls that he takes with him. That is why truly we must know the one true rock, the one true God, Jesus Christ, to deliver us. He is our strength and our refuge. He is able to deliver us in great times of need, in distress, in great famine, when we need hope, when we need God's word, when we need his encouragement. We know that there's only one true God, and his name is Jesus Christ. And that's who we hope, that's who we put, where we put our hope, where we put our trust. That's where we walk, where we run to, and where we pray to. The Lord Jesus Christ. Trouble is defined. I wrote down a few words here, not that I needed to write notes on that. But trouble is defined in distress and affliction, danger, great need, pain, disease, malfunction, cause of confusion, inconvenience, and cause to be bothered. Those are just a few things that came to my mind as I was going through my study the other day on Thursday. And I wanted to preface everything else, truly, by reading from Psalm 55. Psalm 55, and I'm just going to make a little bit of an adjustment here. Thank God for contraptions and gadgets and all kind of things like that. Help us. Okay. And it says here in verse 4, Psalm 55, verse 4, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Have you been overwhelmed by fears and troubles in your life? I'm sure we all have, haven't we? We all know what that is. We all understand hardships. We all understand heartaches. We all understand what it's like to walk in confusion all the day long, not knowing where to turn, not knowing if and when something will be fixed. Because truly we all need help. We need answers sometimes right now, if not sooner. But yet there is a God who causes us to wait. Causes us to wait on Him, because truly our help cometh from on high. God wants us to wade through our problems, to rely on Him, to look to Him. That's where the answers are. Sometimes we want answers right now in a microwave mentality. We want our answers now in a push-button society. But we know that sometimes the greatest appreciation for deliverance is going through the time allotted for each problem that we have in life. to just go through it. We have no other choice. And in verse 5 it says, "Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander off afar off and remain in the wilderness." If you think about that. And if you go to 13, "But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company." Now, we know that we all need like-minded believers around us in times of great need. We know that we all need comfort from one another. Edification, exhortation, comfort. And we all need help. I want to encourage everyone here today to remember that. You might be going through major problems in your own life. You might be going through a big issue right now. But don't forget to reach out to those around you, because in so doing, when you do, oftentimes your own problems tend to fade away. And oftentimes God will himself have an answer for you at the very next turn, or as you turn the page or turn the corner in your life, there is the answer. God wants us to reach out far beyond what we think we know, to think beyond our nose, to look beyond our nose, to see beyond our nose. He wants us to understand that there is help, an ever-present help in time of need. And it says here in verse 16, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there are many with me." And then it says in verse 22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." When we cry unto the Lord, we know that there is a God who will hear. It's been said that there are three kinds of trouble: all we have, all we've ever had, or all that will be. Three kinds of trouble. But these troubles, these trials, tribulations, are meant to do many things. They're meant not only to discipline, but to teach, guide, direct, and lead us. They're also meant to teach us patience, understanding. There are many things that we can learn from trials, tribulations, persecutions of every kind. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can help us. He can help us to see, know, and understand all these things that we go through. I'm reminded of a story about a man who fell into a hole. And in that hole, there was no place to go. It was like the hole that Joseph himself fell in. A pit, nowhere to go. No way to climb out. And all he could do was wait. And a traveler came by and looked down upon this man in the hole. And he says, "If you meditate and pray, perhaps you will reach a place of nirvana where all suffering will cease from your life." And another man came, another traveler, stooped down into the hole and looked upon the man, helpless. And he said, "This is all an illusion. Neither do you exist nor this hole exists." But yet the man was still stuck in the hole that did not exist. Then there came another man who said that if you develop good karma, perhaps you can reach a place where you would be reincarnated into something more magnificent. And then there was another traveler that walked by, and he talked to the man, and he looked down into the hole, and he says, if you pray 5 times bowing and considering the 5 tenets facing the east, if you bow, and perhaps you will find the strength to survive, and one day you would be accounted worthy for all your good deeds and works and for your obedience. And the man lost strength, and he remained in the hole. But then finally came another man. But this guy was different. And he looked down into the hole, and he looked upon the man in the helpless state, condition that he was, laying there with his arms out like this, on the ground, on his back. And he asked him, friend, would you like to be set free? And he says, yes, I would. And so down came the rope. And down climbed this man into the pit. And he picked the man up in his arms. And he climbed back up the pit, dragging this man into the light. And he laid him on the ground as this man looked up and shook his eyes, saw that the line that this was tied to was a staked cross in the ground. And the man, Jesus, saved his life. This, my friends, is a bit of an analogy, an illustration to prove and to show to you that there are many ways out there, there are many so-called answers to life's problems. But there's only one real truth. There's only one real true deliverer. His name is Jesus Christ. He's able to deliver you, he's able to deliver me out of the great pits of despair. If you go to Psalm 34, verses 4 through 6. Why don't we go there? And I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and they were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. These people were not ashamed to cry out unto the Lord God Almighty. They were not ashamed to call out his name. And in verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from out of all his troubles. So we count ourselves as nothing. The world could care less whether you live or die, but there is one who does care. We can thank God, for he is in charge of our lives. He's in charge of every situation that happens in this world. He knows all things. He's got all the answers, and nothing's hidden from him. Nothing's hidden from his view. Psalm 33, 12 through 22. If you could go there. Psalm 33. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Oh, to be a part of the Lord's inheritance. Oh, to be a part of his glory. Oh, to know his wondrous works, his salvation, to set you free, to set me free. Why don't we just look to Jesus? Why don't we look to the Lord? Why don't we draw comfort from him, from his word, from his spirit, who's able to lead, guide, and direct our lives? We don't have to go to these books, the self-help books and self-help books, counselors. I remember what Pastor used to say about people going to a psychologist. You need to get your head examined if you go to one. And I thought that was so that was so funny. I just never forgot that. The Lord's good. In verse 13, the Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of man. See, nothing's hidden from God. He sees all the cracks, crevices, and holes. He sees the underground cities, the tunnels, and all these things that are all over the world that people will seek to hide in when great trouble and calamity hits. They plan and purpose to ruin and destroy your life. But yet there is a God in heaven who sees all that. He knows their hiding places. They're really not hidden, though, are they? I remember how that even pastor and Shirley, his wife here, they had gone down to, was it Washington? They were going on a tour, and how that the Lord had brought the right person to come along their path, and how that they were just minding their own business, and up came a person and wanted to find out if they had had a tour. And pastor said that we're on a self-guided tour, and how that they offered to bring them down into the another tour, more of a sort of an exclusive tour. And only the Lord could open those kind of doors. And how that they were brought down underneath the city, Shirley and Pastor David. And I don't know if there's anyone else with you, John. Well, praise God. And how they had gone underneath the city and rode along. Was it a track or train? Like an underground subway. How that they had gone from place to place, city streets and lights and buildings and all these things down there. Wow, that's pretty interesting. I've heard about it, I've read about it, I've known about it, but I've never seen it like Shirley and Pastor have. That's something else. But how that the Lord sees all that. Nothing's hidden from His view. Psalm 33, 14, 22. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. No. The only strength that we have is Jesus to deliver us. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver it any by his great strength. There is no hope in man or an animal, no thing, no nothing can help us at all except the Lord. And if we would just keep our eyes on the Lord, He will deliver you. Is this light in your way? It's okay? Praise God, okay. And in verse 18 it says here, Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. Have you hoped in His mercy lately? Have you sought God and asked God and cried out to Him for mercy and grace and truth to deliver you and to help you in your time of need? To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. And there's also another famine called the famine of the Word of God today. A famine for the truth. A famine for God's Spirit. For Spirit and truth are one, walking in the Word of God. Hand in hand. That is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God and His Word. In verse 20, Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. God desires that you stop. Stop looking to the outward. Stop looking for some kind of a mechanical means of help. But to start looking inward into the Word of God. Start learning to listen to God's voice. Asking the Lord to start revealing things to you. To start talking to you. It's a dreadful thing. If you never hear the voice of God speaking to you. But He'll speak to you in many ways. Take encouragement. Know that sometimes He'll use the Word of God. Or He'll just speak to you in your spirit. Sometimes He'll speak to through other people. Or circumstances. Just know that the Lord is trying to reach out to you daily. Trying to speak to your hearts. Because He knows how frail we are, how weak we are, and what great need that we have to hear him daily. Because we live in a fallen state and in a fallen world where there's trouble, trouble, trouble everywhere. Psalm 33, 21 through 22. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. You see, the Lord has given us promises through his word. By faith, we are to believe them. We hope in God. We hope in his word. We hope and we trust and we believe. It begins in the mind, begins in the heart. What we think, what we feel, begins to come out of our mouth. See, it's about walking in faith, believing and trusting in God, knowing that what he has written has been written in truth, written in blood, written from the foundations of the earth, from the beginning of time, and that there's no changing. He doesn't change his word, change his mind, that it's a foundational truth from the very foundation of the world. 1 Peter 3:12. 1 Peter 3:12. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. So what he's saying here is he assures us, even when it appears he does not hear or he's not listening, he assures our hearts and our spirits that he is with us, that he is there today. Not tomorrow and not next week. He's there with us now. You can rest assured in that. Take comfort and take courage. And in Psalm 34, 7 through 10, it says here, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. These are the beautiful benefits of following the Lord Jesus Christ. His sovereign hand of grace working in every situation in your life. Working things out, working things in. Able to deliver you from all things. Able to help you in every manifold situation you could ever find yourself in. I've been in many, and I know that you have too. Every one of you here has been in great situations that you never thought possible you could be delivered from. But God has found a way to deliver you. He has kept you because he's got a plan and a purpose for your life. Every one of you here, all those who are online, there's a reason why you're here today. There's a reason why you even have an interest to show up, even to listen to someone like me. And God is able to help. Maybe if there is by some miracle, God could use me even to say a word or two in spite of myself. Maybe somebody could latch on to something, some kind of a truth, and hear. It's only my prayer, and by the grace of God, that would happen. Now, what I've done here, I'm getting to the point, and I'm a bit of a rookie here, so you have to bear with me. I'm not a seasoned evangelist. I'm not a pastor. I'm just helping where I can help. I'm nobody at all. But see, what I'm doing right now is walking in obedience. The Lord put me here. I didn't ask for it. I didn't bid and try to finagle or angle a way to come up here to be heard or seen. That's something I just don't even want to do. That's nothing, not even in my heart. But one day Shirley, as she was praying, asked me to consider coming up here to pray about coming up here to speak. And so I've been doing that. It took me 7 weeks to do it, to figure out if I should even dare give it a try, because honestly, it goes without saying that I can't fill the shoes of Pastor David. Everyone knows that, and we all know we have shortcomings and failures, and we all just try to do what we can to help where we can, to be a blessing however the Lord would help us to be a blessing to people. And that was my prayer before I came here from Georgia. I was living in Georgia for 4 years. And my prayer had always been, and I don't know how I got on this subject, but I am. My prayer had always been, how could I be a blessing to Last Trumpet Ministries? How could I protect Pastor David? How could I go there and be a help? Is there a way, oh Lord, as I would pray, is there a way that I could do something at all? And I had no, not like I'm clamoring to be noticed or clamoring to help, to be seen and heard by, you know, a man or a woman. But it was all because the Lord put it in my heart to want to help. It's always been that way, because I've never had a real pastor. I've never had a real mentor in my life. The closest one I had was my dear dad. And I keep praying for his salvation. I know that he'll come around one day. But I've never had a mentor to teach me the things of God, except the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that we have not need of another man to teach us, but the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that's where my hope is. Now, I'm here to help. I don't know for how long, but by the grace of God, I'll be here for the duration. And if not, that's okay. The Lord will show me another place. I don't know what's going to happen here or from day to day. I have no clue. But God knows all. He's with us. He's with every one of you. And I'm very thankful that I'm here with a dear, precious sister in Shirley Meyer, Michael and Sam and all these precious folks in the pews here and all those who are online. I just I'm very thankful for it. So anyways, let me get on here. I don't even know what happened here just now, but I said what I said. Philippians 4:19. It says here, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So, what the Lord is trying to show us today is that there's no Santa Claus, there's no Easter Bunny. All of that is a fable. It's a human fix. It's an illusion. It's a delusion. It's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a place where that is empty, discarded, no good, trampled upon, full of poison, emptiness, no strength at all. All these lies, all these props that human endeavor tries to replace God with will fail time and again. It has no real meaning at all, does it? Only Jesus is our help. Only the Lord can supply our riches, needs. Only Jesus is able to deliver us. Not a Santa Claus and no Easter Bunny that we have lied to our kids about. All these children that grow up believing a lie. Oh, that's a terrible thing. Psalm 37. And on verse 23 it says here, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So what he's saying here is that we are led step by step, hearing a still small voice. telling us, according to Isaiah, go to your left or go to your right. Go here, go there. Do this, do that. Say this, say that. Pray here, pray about this. This is a still small voice that the Lord is trying to speak to our hearts daily. And in verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So the righteous man falleth seven times, gets back up, never gives up. He falls, he gets dusty, bruised, bloody. He falls and he gets hurt. But a righteous man continues to get up, and the Lord delivers him out of all his troubles. So don't be foolish. Don't give up. All those who would look to harm themselves, who would look to commit suicide or to do this or that or the other, I would encourage you today to not give up. There is hope. There is mercy. Thus we have the rainbow round about the throne of God, showing us his great mercy as he reminds himself in his own truth and his love for mankind that he would never destroy the earth again by a flood. And so it is that we can look to such a God and have hope and faith, trust, believe in him, that he's able to make a refuge for you in time of trouble. That he's able to make a way when it's dark. When things get tough for you and lonely. When you don't know where else to go and what else to do. But there is a one true God who makes a way where there is no way. Amen. Psalm 37, verse 25. I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Oh, we all know what it means to live in trouble. Difficulties, dire straits, hard times. Feast or famine, there is God. He's able to feed our families. He's able to feed you. Not only the word of God, but also physical needs. He cares about even the smallest details of your life. He cares about your little kitty cats. He cares about your dog. He cares about the birds. He cares about all these things. God has an answer for you. He's a great refuge in time of need. And he's also your strength. Don't ever forget that. When you get up in the morning and you feel so tired, where do you draw your strength from? Not only physical, but spiritual. That's what we're talking about. Okay, verse 26, he is ever merciful and lendeth all his seed, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. So even when you go through tough times, when your life is confused, don't think for a moment that you're still not blessed. Don't take it as a curse. Don't take it always that maybe God is mad at me, or maybe I'm not right with God, or maybe there are things that you need to do. Maybe there are things that the Lord's trying to get your attention on. But that doesn't mean that he hates you. That doesn't mean that he's an angry Lord looking for a reason to smash you to smithereens. He's looking to help you because that's his nature. That's his way. The Lord loves to restore. The Lord is looking for a way to restore you and me in right standing with him. And that is why we live in a place called life and time, whereby we have a lifetime to change, whereby we have a lifetime to turn around. And God has given us an allotted time called time. So that when we can get to that place, by daily promptings of the Holy Ghost, by the reading of the Word of God, being led by His Spirit to a place called eternity, where time is no more. So my friend, it is very important that we look to Jesus now, that we don't get so discouraged that we forsake the right way, that we think that we can't do it, that we want to just give up and throw in the towel. No. There is yet strength, and there is yet a refuge in Jesus. There is the great rock that we can cling to. There is only one hope, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, Jesus Christ. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And this truly is probably one of the main parts of the message that I wanted to get across to you. It's about King Jehoshaphat. And it came to pass in verse 1 here. Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Did you know that the daughters of Lot did not trust in God? Therefore they made Lot drunk, and they committed incest with Lot, whereby they had the children of Lot, which became the Ammonites and the Moabites. And that's where the sins of Lot's daughters followed them throughout their whole life. And we have life called trouble, trouble, trouble everywhere. But we can be delivered from that. And I want to show you through the Word of God and how that King Jehoshaphat, how that he was delivered and how that we can be delivered. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon, Tamar, which is in Jedi. Remember those places where David hid out in those, and in Jedi there, the mountain ridges and crags and crevices as he's hiding out from King Saul as he was hunting his life. Verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. You see, this is what the first thing Jehoshaphat did. He set his determined face to seek the living God to resolve his problems until he fasted and prayed and the answer would come. And in verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. See, they came together from towns and cities corporately to seek the Lord, fasting and praying. And this is what we ought to take a lesson from doing. Ourselves coming together to fast and pray and to seek God. If we would just do that, if we would set ourselves like flint, our noses straight forward, to seek God, fast, pray, and find the answer, the Lord will give it to us. We're no different than anyone else. If we would just lay aside all the cares of the world and lay aside all our misgivings and doubts and fears and worries and just get down to the nitty-gritty nuts and bolts of the whole spiritual matter, and God will lead, guide, and direct our lives if we would just not give up. If we would just hope. Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is not in man. Our hope is in the one true living God who is able to help us not only today, not tomorrow, not next week, but today. And can you believe that He can help you and me? We're no different. He can help us. We're no different. We're not special, but we're not enemies against Christ. We're not against the cross of Calvary. We're His friends. What a friend we have in Jesus. And He wants to help. He wants to be there with us and for us. Amen. We just have to believe it. Why don't we just prove it? Why don't we prove it by obeying the word of God? Why don't we prove him by getting into prayer and fasting? Why don't we do that? We should do that. We should do that in our own personal lives. We should do that corporately together. We should do that as a church. Are we really serious about serving God? Are we really serious about hearing from God? Are we able and willing to do all these things? We don't have to sit like a lump on a log and pretend to be spiritual. No, we can get out there. We can obey the word of God. We can trust in God. We can believe in God, in his word, and be led by his spirit. He'll show us, lead us, and guide us if we will only reach out. Reach out to the Lord, to the one living true God who is able to take us by the hand through all the problems in life. He'll help us if we would just not give up. Don't give up. Reach out. He's the refuge and he's our strength. He'll help us. He will help us. Oh. It says here in verse 5, "And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court." So we have Jehoshaphat there. He believed that God ruled the day. He believed that in the great courts of Jehoshaphat, that there was a greater court in heaven taking place. There was a greater court in the throne room of heaven that day that was underway, making plans to save Jerusalem, making plans to save Jehoshaphat. The very first moment he decided to pray and fast, God heard that prayer. And courts were in session. So it is in our own lives. In verse 6, "And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou the God of heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" You see, Jehoshaphat was laying hold of the covenant relationship with God. He was laying hold of the promises set before so that he could hang on to the one true rock and believe and trust and know that this, O God, he was bringing to remembrance the covenant that was set for Jerusalem, for the new Israel, for the Israel of God, those who are born again Christians. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 9, "If when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before the house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help." So what he's doing is he's confessing before God and man his complete dependence on God, utter dependence, utter helplessness without God. But he's reaching out to God, and he's not ashamed to call God by name. He's not ashamed to make a public fast and prayer. He's not ashamed of it because he knows who he trusts. He knows who he believes. He knows that there is one true God and that he's as real as anything else. He's as more real than anything that we see physically. There is a one true God. He's not ashamed of him. And we ought not to be ashamed either. In verse 10, "And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. But I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of possession, of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit." See, they lived peaceably with them, but this is how they rewarded their peace: by coming out against Israel, by coming out against them to make war. Verse 12, "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. How many times in your life has the devil roared all the day long against you and all your faults and failures and reminded you of all your shortcomings, reminded you of all your weaknesses, reminded you of all the things that you've done and said and thought? How many times has that happened? That happens every day, doesn't it? Every day. We have an accuser of the brethren, and his name is the devil. We don't want to be willing stooges working for the devil and doing that kind of work. No. We simply want to submit, walk humbly before God, obey, trust, believe. Walk in a manner and in a way that is pleasing to him. If we sin, to forsake that wrong way, to repent, and to let God know it. To let God know that we are sorry for our sins. But one way to do that is to turn completely from them. That's called repentance. That's called turning away. That's called not looking back, not going back. Putting your hands to the plow. Don't become a Lot's wife where she looked back and longed after all those, the rudiments of the world. Longed for the rudiments of the old life. But when we're brought into the new, we can walk in the newness of life. Where we are laid down and buried in the waters of baptism. Leaving behind the world and all the sin and all the filth behind. And walking in the newness of life. That doesn't mean that you won't fail. That doesn't mean that you won't make a mistake. That doesn't mean that you don't have any shortcomings. Because we all do. But we have one called the Jesus, Abba Father, the Advocate. Who we can go to when we fail. Who we can go to when we fall short. When we walk and we fall in the flesh. And we can go to him for hope, for help, for truth. And he'll set us free. He continues to work things in and out of us all the day long. Amen. And where was I? Verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Can you imagine the scene? As Jehoshaphat stood there, all eyes on him. All the pressure. All the responsibility. All the great needs of all the women and the children and all those who are looking upon someone, somewhere, to deliver them from evil. To deliver them from danger. But who did Jehoshaphat go to? He went to God, the great deliverer. He went to God who would bring up and who would raise men up, men and women. But yet he had a better plan. The Lord had a better plan without weapons. The Lord found a way that would glorify him through it all. And that's the sole purpose of who we are and what we are and what we're doing here today. To glorify God. Amen? And then Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. See, these were the descendants that David set over the songs, service songs of the house of the Lord, where they would come together and sing praises and worship to the Lord God Almighty. This was the same tribe, the tribe of Benjamin, whereby they came from. These were the descendants. And in verse 15, and he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude for the battle. It is not yours, but God's." My point today here is that the battle is not yours to fight alone. It is God's battle. Verse 16. "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You see, the Lord, the great advocate of our souls, was revealing to them their strongholds, their weaknesses, their location, was revealing to them what to do next. The Lord was revealing to them how they should go about the battle and what the outcome would be. That's the kind of God, the kind of general that we serve, the captain of our lives. In verse 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Wow. Isn't that the very words that we long to hear in our own lives? We don't need to sit there and worry and fear and fret and battle over all the things of life. Wonder how we're going to pay our rent. Wonder how we're going to make the car payment. Wonder how we're going to pay our power bill, our electric bill, our put food on the table. How are we going to please my wife, my children? How, I don't want to disappoint them. I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to harm them. And thus, oh God, all this responsibility on my shoulders. What am I going to do? How am I going to make it work? No. The battle is not yours. Take encouragement. Take courage, strength. There is only one refuge, and that is Jesus Christ. And if you make him your refuge, you can rest in that refuge. You can rest by the strength given by the Holy Ghost to help you daily in your needs, to quicken you, lead you, guide you, help you in all the things that you have need of. God will never let you down. Okay. Verse 17, and ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Let every Christian soldier, woman or man or child, know that the God of peace will strengthen you in your time of need. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Notice the word worshiping. I want you to remember that. Because with great humility they acknowledged and received God's help, praising and worshiping God. There is great help that comes from praising and worshiping God. And it's not always and only in the form of coming to a church congregation in a live church setting and praising God. No, it's not always like that, my friends. Consider this and remember this and don't ever forget it. Praising God and worshiping God happens every moment of every day of your life. In every thought, in every word, in every deed, and how your attitude and what attitude you carry with you, the attitude of prayer, the attitude of worship and praise, the attitude of thanksgiving, the attitude of all these things that God helps us throughout the day. When you're working, when you're playing, when you're driving, when you're doing this, this or that or the other, when you're resting or reading, sleeping, if you have the attitude of thankfulness and prayer and thanksgiving and worship and praise and thanking God, God will make a way for you when you never thought there was, could ever be a way. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 19 through 24 says here, and the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel. And with a loud voice on high. You see, God uses praise and worship. And don't ever forget that. It'll break every bondage and every yoke and every stronghold in your life. I don't know if you can see that. But that is a God-given truth. That is given by inspiration through Scripture. If you read the Word of God, if you listen to His Spirit, if you walk in His Spirit, He'll help you. He'll lead you and deliver you every time. He has in my life. And I know He has in your life. You might be going through things right now, but that doesn't mean that your time has come to an end. That doesn't mean that there's still no victory in your life. The Lord is looking to use things in your life to as stepping stones to get to that greater place step by step. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. God will help you. Just don't give up. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established, believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." They did not bring their swords and spears. No. What did the Lord have them do? Let's read. "And when they consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." You see, by this strange advance into the battlefield of life, they began to praise God. It's not only here, the written word of God was written for inspiration, for edification, for encouragement, exhortation, to help us, to lead us, to guide us in the principles of truth in the Word of God. So, this is what we apply to our life. They went into the battlefield, but we go into the battlefield called life. And we bring our praises and worship and thanksgiving to God in every battle that we face. "And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were against Judah, and they were smitten." Has God smitten your enemies? Has God changed things around in your life? He has in mine. I can guarantee you that. I've got testimony after testimony after testimony of God Almighty delivering me from manifold moments of death that I really haven't told anyone about yet. You know, I've been delivered from death at least 5 times. I've been delivered from certain death. I've been delivered from many manifold situations in my life, in my travels throughout the world, around this country, and I've been all over. And I know that I can give praises and I can worship God and give him all the credit and all the glory for what he's done in my life. And you can too. Because I'm no better than you are. Not even a smidgen. We all have had our problems in life. No one's no more different or better than anyone else. God knows. And here, in verse 23, "For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another." You see, God sent them a great confusion. And they rose up against each other. They killed each other off, and not a one survived. 2 Chronicles 20:24. "And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped." Sometimes we need to consider the damage that we can cause in the spiritual realm of prayer. And when we praise and worship Almighty God, don't ever forget our duty every day is to serve God some way, somehow. If it's not doing something physically, we can serve God by learning how to pray, by learning how to intercede, by learning how to praise and worship. Don't ever forget that. 2 Chronicles 20:28-30, it says here, "And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord." And the fear of the Lord was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. Who is the enemies of Israel? Who is Israel? Israel, true Israel, is you and me. Those who are true born-again believers, redeemed by the blood of Christ. That is true Israel. And God had set himself to fight against your enemies, my enemies. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for God gave him rest round about. God is able to quiet your weary soul. God is able to still the storm called life in your life. He is able to help when no one else can lend a helping hand. Only Jesus, who is our sole reliance and chief reliance on this earth, should be given the credit, should be given the gratitude, should be given the praise and the worship for all and anything good that happens to us, in us and through us. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Do you believe he can do that today in your life? Do you believe that he's able to direct your paths? Have you put your trust in the one true God Almighty, able to deliver you, to lead you, and guide you in truth? Because there is no other truth. There is no other way but God's way. You want to find life? Walk in that life. You want to find hope? Walk in that hope. Do you want to find grace? Walk in that grace. Do you want to find truth? Walk in that truth. Do you want to find salvation? Find by walking. Go to it. The Lord will lead you right there. He'll show you the way. He'll bring you to the cross. He'll send the Comforter. He'll make a way where your life was no way at all, but dead ends and tough spots and manifold troubles and calamities of every kind. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have ye ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Wow, you know, in our own life, we can apply that, can't we? How that Paul, through his extreme pressure to cause him to trust God in his tough life, in his tough situations, all that he was going through. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. You see, Paul was delivered from death many times. Paul was delivered from extreme trials, from deadly peril. And in verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. These experiences of deliverance produces great faith in our life. It produces hope to know that we can rely on a God who has the ability to deliver us and create a refuge wherever we are. Yea, also helping together by prayer for us, for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. That is what we call interceding for others. Prayer, the power of faith. I know that there's a poem that I copied down here that I've always enjoyed. And it's kind of speaks about what we're talking about today. Please allow me to read it. It's called Redemption and the Crown. Out of the darkness, out of the dark, forbidding soil, the pure white lilies grow. Out of the black, murky clouds, like it is right now, raining, murky, cloudy, thundering, descends the stainless snow. Out of the crawling earth-bound worm, a butterfly is born. Out of the somber, shrouded night, behold, a golden morn. Out of the pain and stress of life, the peace of God pours down like rain. Out of the nails, the spear, the cross, redemption and a crown. Praise God. Praise God Almighty. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength. And that is where I got my message today. That is the place I found the title of my message. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So when you cry out to God in your great distress, He is a very present help in trouble. He is a very present help in time of your great need. Therefore, will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. You see, we just have to let go of the other end. There comes a time we just have to let go and just trust God. Just believe. Let it go. Just let it go. Forget about it. Okay? Let it go. Verse 3. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Where are the tabernacles of the Most High? It's wherever that refuge is that God creates in your life, where you reach out to Him. Where you reach out to Him in the middle of the desert, in the middle of a storm, on the middle of the ocean, somewhere, somehow. When you reach out to God, He's right there, creating a tabernacle on high to deliver you, to deliver your soul. He's there to help you. 46:5-11. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Yes, sometimes we have to wait. But God understands your need. The Lord Jesus Christ knows who you are, where you are, every moment of every day. Don't ever forget that. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold, the works of the Lord. What desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. See, there is no hope in the chariots of life called things to help us get through. God is above and bigger than that. We should look to God to help us, not find some kind of hole in the ground or high pie in the sky somewhere. No, Our refuge is in Jesus. Our refuge and hope belongeth to Him. And every day, every situation that you find yourself in, don't ever forget that there is a God out there who is looking to deliver you and create a great refuge of hope. It says here, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Praise God. I'm reminded in closing here of a true story. It's an illustration, but it's a true story. About a man who, Horatio Spafford, in the 1800s. A friend of D.L. Moody, way back in the day. How that he lived a life, a great success in business, but yet he was not void of trouble. He knew trouble. And how that for years he was a great success in the business world. And that in 1871, how that the great Chicago fire burned all his real estate holdings along the great shores of Lake Michigan there, where most of all that he held was right along that shore. And how that his wife, through it all, suffered ill. So as they went to the doctor, and the doctor recommended to them that they ought to take a vacation. And so he had four daughters along with him. They decided that D.L. Moody was having like a tour, a friend of his, in England. So they decided to spend their vacation in England. But business pressures took their toll on Mr. Horatio Spafford, and he was delayed. So he sent his wife and four young girls ahead of him. They caught the first ship out, and on the coast of Newfoundland, they were sailing, and an old English freighter collided with them. There they lost their four girls. They died. The ship sank within 12 minutes. It was down. He received a cable that his wife still is alive. And in two words, it said, saved alone. And realizing that he lost his four daughters, he took the first ship out he could find, went to go join his wife, found her, and they went to the watery gravesite as he looked down into the dark, 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 murky waters of the ocean where they died. He went down to the cabin and he penned the words, "It is well with my soul. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like the sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross. I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. The Lord haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." So, my friends, is it well with your soul today? Have you cried out to God and looked to Him for your salvation? Have you made it well with your soul? Have you made peace with God? Are you ready for that great calling away? Are you ready for your day when your day is up? Have you made your soul right with God? Have you overcome by the blood of the Lamb? Did you go to the cross and wash your hands and feet in the blood of Christ? Only Jesus can deliver us. Praise God. Why don't we go to sing that song in closing? It is well with my soul. And surely you'll have to tell me. I'm not sure I remember what page that's on. I believe it's in the chorus book.